Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Oh. Good morning. I just wanted to add on to what Pastor had said. A testimony this morning. Before I go into the word, even if I don't teach or preach the word this morning, this testimony that I have, it's a word is itself. Because as we know, the testimony is last year, you know, we Darius always wanted a car, wanted a vehicle. And so we purchased a vehicle, went and purchased a vehicle for him, you know, because we're having trouble with his one-on-one for him to get to work. So we went and purchased a vehicle for Darius, you know, for in case of one-on-one, he can get to work, you know, and stuff. You know, Darius telling everybody, you know, I put my mom and dad in debt and everything, you know, but the Lord knows. So we're trusting and, you know, the Lord for that. So we went in for the vehicle. So we went and purchased the vehicle. Yes, it was a debt, you know, a five-year debt that we was obligated to. And back in February when we purchased the vehicle, but the payment was due in May of last year. You know, first payment due in last year in May. But we just trust the Lord and told the Lord, you know, we are the head. We are blessed.
Amen.
We are, you know, blessed coming in, blessed going out. And so back in, like I said, 5 years, we had 5 years obligation, but the Lord blessed us that we paid the vehicle and we have the title to the vehicle within a year's time. So that's nothing but God. So thanks to God. Just believe and know that God is able. God is able. We paid, you know, it was paid off. The title is in our hands less within a year's time. A five-year ordeal, less than a year. So can't nobody tell me that God is not good. God is not able. God is able. He is willing. So all the praise and all the honor goes and belongs to the Lord. So just put your trust in him, saints of God. Put your trust in him. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation may seem, God is able. If he did it for me and my family, he can do it for you. He have no particular person. He loves us all. He loves me. He loves you. So thanks to God, just take that. You know, it was just, yes, amazing and everything. You know, when I told Tammy about it, you know, she was saying that, are you for real? Because I just wanted to make sure, you know, that this was accurate. But they saw many things saying that, you know, this is your payment, what you owe on it. I'm like, no, this can't be. And everything. So I said, God, I'm trusting you. I sent the payment in. They sent the title. So I didn't say anything to Tammy right then. I said, well, I'm going to get the title, make sure that this is correct. And the title came in. So I said, all right, we're sitting at the table. And I said, Tammy, I got something to tell you. And she said, what? I said, we are debt free with this. She's like, are you for real? You know, I was like, yes. You know, so I showed it to her. She's like, well, are you sure? I said, everything is, you know, it went to DMV. They gave, you know, everything was clear. It's in my name. So with that, so if they go back and say, well, no, there was a mistake. We got the title. It's in our name. It's clear through DMV. Nothing in the group. That's favor of God. And so thanks God. So, like I said, all the praise and honor go to the Lord. He is able, thanks to God. So just continue to be faithful, giving your tithes and your offering and everything. It will come back to you. It will come back to you. The blessing will come back to you. This morning, thanks to God, I will come out of Luke. Like I said, even if I don't finish, because, you know, that was a message itself. God is good. Luke chapter 15. Starting at verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It's a very familiar scripture. And it said, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that fell to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his stuff with wild living. Okay, and then let's skip on over to verse 25. Then it said, now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father had killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, saying to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never give me a kid that I may make merry with my friend. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlot, thou have killed him for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And was meet that we shall make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Like I said, if I had to put a title to this portion of the parable, the inner portion of this parable will be self-righteous sinner. This morning, saints of God, as we turn our attention to the one of the most familiar of God parables, this extended parable in Luke 15 is extended to teach the truth that God loves sinners. He loved the lost enough to go after them in their lost condition, as evidenced by all three illustrations in this chapter. He loved the self-righteous sinner enough to tell them about their condition, which is why he told this parable to begin with. So in other words, thanks God, I'm not going to talk about the lost sheep, the lost corn, the lost son, but I'm going to talk about the elder son, the lost self-righteous sinner. We see that the elder son, he represented the righteous, religious part of this parable. So what we see, very often this chapter is preached, you could hear about the lost sheep, like I said, the lost corn, prodigal son, but it's rarely days when you hear anything about the elder son. Why is that? I think we avoid this story because our focus is on the emotion reunion between the father and the lost son. I also think we avoid this section of the last parable because it hit too close to home. There's at least a little and maybe a lot of the elder brother's attitude in nearly each and every one of us. We see as the Lord reached the end of this parable, he is still talking about the lost things. He is still dealing with the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees toward lost sinners. The elder brother in this text pictures a person who is involved in the things of God, but who have no real relationship with God. He is in his Father's house, but he is lost. He is in the far country in his heart. We see that the younger one went to a far country, but the elder son, he was lost in his heart. We also see in verse 11, we're reminded that the father had two sons and both were lost. The young son was lost in the far country, in geographically, but the elder son was lost in the father's house. The younger son was lost because he lived for pleasure, but the elder son was lost because he lived to maintain appearance. There are two ways that you can be lost. One way is to break the rules and do as you please. This is how the youngest brother lived, and he was lost. The other way is to keep all the rules and to be good. This is how the elder brother lived, and he too was lost. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? But this morning, I don't want you to think that this is confused, because God is not the author of confusion. We might not think that this is because we equal being good is being saved. But if you are not, if you are only good to earn favor with God, you are lost. If you keep the rules so that God will have to hear your prayers and bless you, you have missed the point, saints of God. The gospel is not to be good and you will be saved. The gospel is to be saved and you will be good. This morning I will be speaking to two classes of people. The primary purpose of this message is for those who are lost in sin and need to be saved. You might be religious. You might be a church member. You might be a good moral person, but you have never been saved. God's word is for you today. This message also have a word for people who is saved, but who have the same spirit and attitude as the older brother. It speaks to people who are upset when God blesses his people. It speaks to people who do not like it when the prodigal sons come home. It speaks to the people who refuse to rejoice over what God is doing because it isn't being done their way. It speaks to the people who are like the elder brother, the self-righteous one. We're going to talk about the religious brother today. We see, saints of God, it's not about us. It's all about God. For the next while, let's listen to what the Lord had to say in these verses about the self-righteous brother. There are some lessons that we need not to miss. We see the self-righteous brother in verse 25, he was his respectability. We see that this brother, he was a leader. He is the elder brother. As such, he is entitled to double the portion of his father's possession. Since his younger brother will already receive his part of the inheritance in verse 12, everything belonged to the elder brother. When his father died, not only will he receive his father's possession, he will also become the legal and religious head of the family. Much has been given to this young man already, and more is on its way. He has been blessed indeed. We, saints of God, also are blessed. We are co-heirs with Jesus. We are blessed indeed. We are co-heirs, but yet still, we still want more and more. If everything ain't going out right, we want it to be our way. We got to have it our way. Sometimes, just like the older son, he want everything. We see that he is greedy. he is greedy. You know, although he's a leader, but sometimes the leaders, they get greedy. They want, you know, everything. They thinking about self. We have to put self out of the way and think about our purpose. Also, we see in his respectability, he was a laborer. When we first met this man, he was in the field. He is busy doing his father's business. While his younger brother been off in the far country living it up, this young man has stayed home and worked. He had been working hard. It seemed that all is well in this family and that there is good fellowship between the father and his oldest son. The oldest brother is a picture of a religious elite. They were also in a place of privilege. They have God law and its appearance, outward at least. They have God appearance in the outward. But God knows the heart. We see they was walking in the law. They look good to others, but there are a real problem in their heart. The problem was hidden from the human view, but God could see it. They was religious, but they was lost. So sometimes, thanks to God, we as believers be self-righteous. We people see on the outside of us saying, man, that woman is very, you know, they is very believe, they are good believer, they are a good person. But deep down, they can be rotten to the core. But God know the heart. You know, appearance is not everything. Man judge the outside, but God judge the heart. So we see the same thing could be true for the believers today. There are more good people. They come to church. They don't cuss. They don't drink. They don't steal. They don't smoke. They don't cheat. You have been baptized and belong to the church. By all appearance, you are a good or better than anyone else around you. The Lord knows the true condition. You can fool others, but you cannot fool God. 1 Samuel 16:7 said, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his company or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man look at the outer appearing, but the Lord look at the heart. Yeah. So we see, thanks to God, we just can't judge a person about his outer appearance. You know, they might look good, they may act good, but like I said, they can be rotten to the core. You can be good, moral, and active in church and still be lost. Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devil, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So it's not by our being good and our good work, you know, we did this and we did that. We got to make sure that we have the right motives. We just can't be self-righteous, religious. We got to have the right motives, thanks to God. You think you are right with God, but you can't trust what you feel in your heart. The heart is wicked and deceitful. Only God truly knows your heart. In Jeremiah 17, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing." So God, he knows the heart. He searched the heart. So the heart is deceitful. God knows. Knows your heart. So, in other words, thanks to God, I am not trying to make anyone doubt their salvation this morning, but I'm just making sure that you're not living a self-righteous religious life. I am simply saying that religion does not equal to salvation. Church membership does not equal to conversion. Being close to the things of God does not equal to being saved by the grace of God. We also see saints of God in verse 25, latter part, verse 25 through 30, we see that this self-righteous brother, his resentment. While he was headed home after a hard day in the field, this brother heard the music celebrating as he neared the house. He is confused. As far as he knows, there was no reason for celebration at the father's house. He lived there all his life, and he said, and he have never seen a reason to celebrate. He called the servant and asked him what the meaning of this noise. The servant told him of his lost brother returning and about the father killing the fatted calf and throwing a party. When he heard this, he became angry. Sometimes we get angry when something is done for someone else and we've been praying about the same thing. We get angry, you know, at the, well, God, you know, I've been going through the same thing. Why come this not happened to me? You know, or why come you blessed him, but you didn't bless me? Like I said before in my testimony, God had no particular person. You know, maybe your time haven't came yet, you know, but just wait upon the Lord. So, and we see when he became action in his angry, in his action, his resentment toward his father and his brother can clearly be seen. So, thanks to God, we have to make sure that our action, you know, our wrong action, our wrong motives speaks for us. We want the right action, the right motives, and our, you know, to speak for us. Because people is reading us. We know we like an open book. As believers, we is like an open book. You know, our life should be our testimony. It should be our testimony. We should live a life that someone sees us and said, there's something particular about that person. It was something, you know, peculiar about that person that I like, that never met you before, but yes, your attitude, the aura around you bring out, you know, that best, that person will make them curious. So we got to be careful about our attitude. What attitude are we displaying? As I consider this young man, I see some characteristics that trouble me. First, we see he did not love his younger brother. As the younger brother, it was his responsibility. I mean, as the older brother, it was his responsibility to go after the missing sibling. He did not go. The text suggested that he didn't even show up to say goodbye. His action indicated that he didn't care what happened to his younger brother. Also, he did not care that his younger brother had come home. This man had already written off his younger brother and didn't care what happened to him. Also, I see with the characteristic in this older brother, he did not love the father either. That made me think, thanks to God, we as being believer, self-righteous, religious, do we really love the Father? Or are we going through the motion, yes, I love it, you know, to get what I want. Are we, you know, we're going through the motion, yes, to get what we want, or do we truly love our Heavenly Father? Just like the older brother, you know, he did not love the Father. He was disrespectful to the Father. He was resentful of the Father, open love for the younger son. He was self-serving, hateful, and condescending. He might even been living at home and laboring for the Father, but he did not love the old man. He did not love the Father. So saints of God, we have to look, take a picture of this self-righteous brother. Are we doing these things, you know, for self-serving reason? Do we really love the Father? Are we in labor, ministering, yes, to get what we can get from the Father? Or are we doing it for the purpose of bringing the lost into the kingdom? Doing what the Lord, our Father, had told us to do, to go out into all the world, preaching and teaching the gospel to the lost. We see, thanks to God, also that his attitude, his heart had become so frozen by self-conceit that he lacked the understanding and compassion. He had missed the high quality in his father's life. He simply could not understand his father's patience, forgiveness, and grief over the younger brother absent from the home. His brother was a neurotic sinner, but he himself was righteous. His brother deserved nothing except to be abused, and he deserved to be praised and honored. We see, thanks to God, it was all about self. We have to be careful on our motives. If it's about self, or is it about being about our father business? Also, we see an attitude of the older brother. His whole attitude showed that his years of obedience to his father had been years of grand duty and not a loving servant. So he is still doing it, not because out of love, but because, yes, a duty. Well, I'm here, I might as well do it. It wasn't, his heart wasn't in it. Also, his attitude is one of the attitude like a symptom. He refused his brother, not as my brother, but as your son. He didn't accept his brother as my brother. He said, your son. So that just goes to tell you, he didn't care anything about his younger brother. He was thinking about himself. Also, we see in the attitude, he had a particular nasty mind. There's no mention of harlot until he mentioned it himself. How did he know that his younger brother spent his money on harlot, on prostitute? So we have to be careful what we speak, what we said, thanks to God, because out of the heart, you know, so are we. So what deep down in our heart, what we thinking, is so we. So in other words, he no doubted, suspected, and accused his brother of the sin he himself would like to have committed. So we have to be careful what the things that we accuse other people. Because when we accuse other people, it's coming out of the heart. You know, he was jealous of his brother. Although he was a sinner, he was lost, but he was jealous because those are the things that he brought up out of his heart, speaking of his brother. Because like I said, his brother didn't call back and tell him, well, hey, I'm out here having a good life. He didn't mention nothing in this parable about I'm having a good life. I'm having a good time. I'm out here with prostitutes. I'm out here living it up. But yet and still, how would he know that? So we have to be careful on the things that we speak. We also see, thanks to God, We also see in his resentment, we see his motives. In his attitude, we see his motives. When this brother heard why there was a celebration, he is angry and refused to go in. His father came out and gently pleaded with him to come in. He replied to his father in very telling of the boy's heart. In verse 29, he reminded the father of his faithful servants and complained that he had never been given a feast for what he had done. The bottom line is, he did not care that his brother was lost and have come home. He did not care about what pleases the father. And also, as Pastor mentioned today, we see that he was complaining, but yet he never asked for a feast. He never asked for these things. And you know, James has said, you know, ask. You have not because you ask not. So did he ever ask the father? But yet he held all that grudge inside of him and everything because the father was celebrating the loss of his youngest son. So, in other words, we cannot hold grudges. We got to let it go. We cannot hold grudges. We got to ask for forgiveness. We got to repent and keep going about our father business. We see this, that was an attitude that the older brother had. The older brother would not know that the day of the prodigal return was the greatest day in his father's life. The father had killed the fattest calf in enormous, expensive, extraordinary, and accustomed, well, even having meat at meal was considered a delicacy. The older brother realized his father was overcome with joy, yet he refused to go into the biggest feast his father had ever put on. This was a remarkable, deliberate act of disrespect. It was his way of saying, I don't want to be part of this family, nor respect your headship of it. And the father had to go out to plead with him, just as he went out to bring his alienated young son back into the family. Now he had to go and do the same for the elder brother, because he too was lost. He did not even care about the father. Eventually, he did what he did for what he could get out of it. He saw his servants to the father as a slave. He said, all these years I have been in bondage to you. He did not serve his father out of love for the father, but he did out of desire to help himself. This same attitude can be seen in the church today, saints of God. Some believers won't rejoice when sinners are saved because they feel threatened. Just like Jonah, he didn't want to see the people saved in Nineveh because it was all about himself. And that way, some people in the church today, it's all about themselves. Them, you know, it's about me, myself and I, not about the lost. Also, we can see the attitude in the church that they cannot get excited when a church grows because they see their hold on power slipping away. So thanks to God, church grows when people come in. We have to change with the people. We can't just have, when my father was here, my mother was here and did this, my grandmother was here, we did it this way. We have to change with the people to get the people in. Now I'm not saying we have to be all wild and crazy and do things, but we got to serve the people that is here. We have to put our attention to the young people. You know, it ain't all about the music that we play. You know, we can't just stick to the tradition. Well, clap your hand. You know, sometimes we got to have some upbeat to our music. You know, we just got to change. You know, I'm not talking about, we just got to change with the people. If we want people in, we got to change with the people that are coming in. and everything, you know, on it. So it's not about just us, it's about getting the people in, saving the people. So we got to change for the young people. We got to change our worship service. We got to change from the old tradition, you know, get away from the old tradition. You know, like I said, well, it was good for granddaddy and grandmama. It's good, you know, it'd be good for me and everything. No. What the word said, what's good for grandfather might not be for good for you. Because nowadays, grandfather can eat, he could eat pork. That's all they can eat, pork and stuff, pig and everything. But now, the way society is, you try to eat too much pork, you're going to be dizzy in the head, high blood pressure, and everything else. So what's good for grandpa, it's not good for you all the time. So we got to make that consideration, thanks to God. You know, we got to get out of that old condition way of thinking. Also, they do not care about God's will being done in the church if it's run counter to their personal agenda. So if in, like I said, if it not, you know, God agenda, and they've been doing it for so long, it's hard for them to change. They want all accolade, all the pat on the back, and all the glory, instead of giving all the glory to the Lord. Well, he didn't say good morning to me. He didn't pat me on my back saying good morning, or you did a good job. You know, it's all about them, and that was this older brother was doing. It was all about him. So we have to be careful on that also. Even the attitude in the church, that service in the church is not about God, it is about them. Some people go through the motion of serving the Lord for what they think they may gain from it. That's in the church, saints of God. Also, when you see this kind of attitude on display, either you have a lost person masquerading as a saved person, or you have someone who is out of God's will. Also, we see that in this older brother attitude, his resentment is seen in his mentality. When you listen to this boy talk to his father, you quickly realize that he is proud, disrespectful, aggravating, and angry. There's obviously something wrong with his attitude about this situation. He should be overjoyed. His brother had returned safely from the far country. He should be rejoicing that his father had received a lost son home again. All he could do is whine, pout, and complain. Do you want to know what his real problem is? He tells us in verse 30. In verse 30, we see but as soon as this thy son have come, why have thou devoured thy living with Ellen, that thou kill for him the fattest calf? So what was his problem? His problem was he was jealous. His problem was he was jealous. Because he said, like I said, he spent his money on prostitutes. He didn't talk to his father or the brother about that. Do you know what was wrong with him? He was jealous. He might be at home in body, but he was in a far country in his heart. So he was jealous of his brother, of what he did. He is as far away from the father as was the other son when he went away geographically. Only he really wanted to do is live it up like his brother. He wanted to go and do it because his pride wouldn't let him. So he got mad, and that one who did the very thing that he wanted to do in his heart had been received by the father. So, saints of God, we have to be careful of being jealous of someone that have, so to speak, backslid and came back. And that the leaders of the church, they show some attention to that person and everything. Well, I've been here all this time serving, but now the pastor, he patting so-and-so on the back. you know, we have to be careful. We need to rejoice that brother or that sister have came back and united with the kingdom of God. So don't be jealous of how the pastor treat. You know, just talk to the Lord. Lord, come to me. Come to me boldly. If you got a problem, come to me. The Lord, he take care of it. If you got a problem with the pastor, come, go to the Lord. Well, I ain't going to that church no more. You know, your attitude, that self-righteous attitude, that self-righteous religious. So we see, we have to be careful. The illustration, see, this is what was wrong with the Pharisee. They kept the letter of the law hour, but in their heart, they lust, they hated, and they longed to sin. The same thing. They kept the law, but yet and still, they were jealous of the other people. They wanted to do these things, but because of the pride and people, they was leaders. They didn't want to be opening, but in their heart, they did the same thing. You don't have to be a drunk to be out of God's will. You don't have to be an adulteress to be in the four countries spiritually. You can serve your church, sing the cry, preach the word, or anything else you want to name and still be out of the word of God. You may look as good as anyone today, but you can have a heart that is filled with lust, evil thought, and desire for sin. Because that's the flesh. That's the work of the flesh. I don't care how saved you are, if that flesh rises up, it's going to make you want to do contrary to the word of God. Because that's its nature. You see, if you depend on to be anything you wish outward, but it is the condition of the heart that matter. In Matthew 15, 18 through 19, you can read about that. When you get saved, the Lord gave you a new heart. You that gave you the ability to live a new life. So he can't say, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. You can do all things if you want to, because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Another problem with this young man had to do with the father using of his wealth. In verse 12, we are told that the father divided to them his living. Everything the father already had belonged to the elder brother. It will all fall in his hand when the father died. He is mad because the father dared you wealth that was coming to him to be thrown on a feast for his despised brother. This other brother had a real problem. Like I said, this other brother had an attitude. It was greedy. It was all about him. He was mad because the father spent some money, well, so to speak, the fattest calf on his younger brother. All that wealth should came to me, not to him. He didn't spend his money. Now you're spending my money on my youngest brother. That's in action, that's what he's saying. Oh, that belongs to me. How dare you spend my money on him? So we have to be careful, thanks to God, the way we use our attitude. Also, we see his resentment is seen in his method. The older brother did two things here that indicate that he is resentment toward the father as much as towards his younger brother. First, it was a sign of disrespect to fail to greet the one father with proper title. For even the younger brother did this. In verse 12, the younger brother greeted the father, but yet and still, the older brother, he did not greet the father with the proper title. Second, it was also disrespectful for a young man to argue with his father. This boy did did just that in front of the servants and the guests. He brought as much of, or maybe more, disgrace upon the father as the other son did when he did that in public. So we have to be careful. If we have a problem, saints of God, we have to go to that person. You know, talk to that person. You ain't got the gospel to everybody in the church. Well, the pastor did this, or sister so-and-so did this, or brother so-and-so did this. Go to that person, talk to that person. The word said, if he don't listen, take two, three, and go to that person. If he still don't listen, you know, then let the Lord handle it. Get him out, you know. It's not our responsibility to spread gospel rumors about other people and everything. Our responsibility is to love them and everything. So our attitude adjustment, our self-righteous attitude, we need to work on it. I'm like I said, thanks God, I'm not talking about anybody. I'm just getting something to think about and everything, because this hit home to me, you know, because I see myself in some parts of this, just being honest. And if you be honest, you see the same thing in yourself. Okay, we also notice how this young man handles the anger. He attacked, he criticized, and he blamed. This let us know that his heart is not right. Why? Because the outward attitude and action of a mirror is into the heart. We see that in Matthew 12, verse 35, which says, Matthew 12, 35, it said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. So out of the heart, good things will come out of a good heart. Evil things will come out of evil heart. So whatever's in your heart, it's going to come out. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, it's going to come out. One way or the other, it's going to come out. Somewhere, someplace, somehow. So if it's in there, you might try to keep it down in there, but the devil going to mash a button somewhere in your walk of life that what's in your heart, it's going to come out. You might say, well, I don't curse, but yes, at that moment, that word gonna come out, or that thought gonna come out. We also see, what does your heart say about you? So you watch people who can only attack other, criticize, blame on anyone but themselves. This kind of person have a real spiritual issue. I told you, thanks to God, this will hit close to home. But I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about myself. I'll put it that way. I'm talking about myself. Also, we see that with his attitude, his reaction. We see that his attitude or reaction is he refused the father plea. The father went out and entice this young boy to come into the feast. The word entice means to come alongside of another, to offer aid and comfort, to beg, to console, to comfort, to encourage. It is the same word that is translated comfort in John 16, verse 13. And this is one of the name of the Holy Spirit. This father loved him and came outside to encourage this young man to come to the feast to celebrate the return of his lost brother. So we see, thanks to God, we sometimes like get that same attitude. Man, I'm not coming, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, you know. On that, yes, an attitude, the wrong attitude, the self-righteous attitude. Noted that this young man didn't even call his father by the father's name or his son. He said this father went to this boy in the right spirit, but he was rejected. So the father went to the son in the right spirit, But yet still, the son, because of his attitude, his self-righteous attitude, even rejected the father. So we have to be careful, saints of God, even when God, the Spirit come to us, tell us stuff and everything, warn us of things, we have to be careful not to reject it. Because our pride and our attitude, our self-right attitude. There are times when the Lord speaks to us where if we are saved, he will speak to us to encourage us or to confront us the sin that is in our life. If we are saved, he speaks to us and calls us to repent of our sin, to come to Jesus, and to be saved. We see also that in the attitude of the older brother, he refused the father's promise. The father praised him for his effort and reminded him that everything was already his. In effort, this father was saying, I value you and our relationship far more than I value your work. Saints of God, God, our Father, he values our relationship much more than he values our work. He loves us. He cares for us. We need nothing else to build a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Even if we slack on the work that we are to do, if we get the relationship, that's more important than doing the work. I'm not saying just sit down, well, I ain't got to do this. I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to make a relationship. No, I'm not saying that. Still do the work. But the relationship with the Heavenly Father is much more important. Amen. Okay, so we see that the boy wouldn't have enjoyed fellowship with the father any time he wanted to. So he could have had that fellowship with the father any time that he wanted to. But because of the attitude, he could have came to the father any time and had that relationship to him. But apparently, he was too wrapped up in his own legalism and narrow-mindedness to realize it. This boy wanted what the father had, but he did not want the father, just like his younger brother. Even though he didn't want the father, he didn't want anyone else to have the father either. So what that's saying about us, thanks to God, we don't want the father sometimes, and then we get mad when someone else comes to the father. The attitude is all about our self-righteous attitude. We don't want somebody else to have, because we think, well, if that person comes to the Father, he's going to get a little more than I got. I might have one biscuit, but he got two biscuits. So we just got to be careful. So they don't want other people to have more than them. The same thing is true in many lives today. People want the church. They want to feel better about themselves. They want a fire insurance policy. They want to get out of hell free card, but they don't really want an intimate relationship with the Father. Often they resent those who want that closeness. I just want to remind you that you are as close to the Lord as you want to be. You have as much fellowship with him as you want to have with him. You can have more if you want it, saints of God. Also, we see in the attitude, he refused the father's passion. The father tells this boy that it was meet that it should have this, that he should have this celebration. In other words, it was necessary for him to have this celebration. To the father, the return of the lost son was a cause for celebration. The father was passionate about the young son's return. A lost one had been found. The one considered dead was now alive again. And perhaps more important, the father's love and faith have been vindicated and the family name restored. There was much cause for rejoice. The father wanted his son to learn the truth that everything isn't about him and about him getting his own way. There are bigger issues at stake and they should take priority. This is how things is in the work of God as well. Nothing is more important than the glory of God. That is why God does all he does. He seeks to glorify his name in the universe. And those who love him, that as well should be their goal also. Instead of getting upset when God doesn't do things our way, we should learn to thank him for what he is doing. Instead of pouting, this boy shall have been parting, and so shall we. Look at this chapter again. Everybody is happy except the older brother. If you read the whole complete chapter, if the shepherd, he will have it. The friends were happy. The woman who lost the corn, she was happy. The father, he was happy. The lost son is happy. The servants are happy. The resident of heaven are happy. The only person who is miserable here is the older brother. He is miserable because he refused to be happy. Sometimes, thanks to God, we blame everything on everybody else because we is not happy, but we're not pointing our finger at ourselves. We ourselves making our own self unhappy. So everybody in this chapter was happy except the elder brother. He was miserable because he refused to be happy. The feast is there. All he had to do is go in and enjoy himself. Instead, he's standing out and pouting because he is not the center of attention and because he didn't get his way. What a shame. In conclusion, thanks to God, have you ever noticed that this is an open-end story? Did the elder brother ever come into the feast? We don't know. I think Jesus left it that way for a reason. And here's the reason. Every individual must write his or her own ending to this story. For Israel, the story ended badly. The Lord Jesus Christ presented himself to the nation as their long-awaited Messiah. He came to them as the fulfillment of all the ancient prophecies. They knew he claimed to be, but they refused to receive him as their Messiah, as their Lord, or as their Savior. In this story, the elder brother represented the religious leaders of Israel. They refused to come into the feast. In the end, they killed the father. They murdered him because they would not have him rule over them. When Israel crucified their king, they murdered the father and wrote their own ending to the story. How will this story end for you? If you are lost today, you need to come to Christ Jesus for salvation. If you are saved, but don't know, if you are saved, but not where you need to be, you should get things right today. There's a party going on, and you are invited. Don't stay outside. Listen to the celebration. Come in and be part of it. If the Lord has spoken to your heart about salvation or about your personal walk with him, please come today while he is calling. The whole point of this extended parable has been to show the importance of the human soul to God and to point lost people to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.